All right, welcome to the Nerdicon. We're back.
Finally.
Finally. It only took us, like,
2 months?
2 months.
I know, right?
That's not bad.
It
could
be
worse.
Bad. It could be, yeah.
Life happens.
Yeah,
because everybody has class except for me.
You have class.
I have class, like, 3 days a week, and one of them's with you.
That's true.
And you have to work, Jeffrey.
Jeffrey,
when everyone would
ruining
be
lives.
Well, you know what?
You
2 days a week.
Yeah.
Get on my level.
Just no. Work on Wednesdays. Gosh.
Like I do, but anyways.
All right, so not a whole lot. Well, I mean, there's been some nerd news, I guess.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Cool nerd news.
Meh.
J.J. Abrams and Valve working together, having babies.
Yeah, and J.J. Abrams directing Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think we talked about that.
Did we? I think we did, but...
No, we didn't.
No? Oh. J.J. Abrams is directing Star Wars. You probably know that by now.
So now he is, like, officially king of...
He's
everything
also on a lot
nerd.
Of people's shit list,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people hate J.J. Abrams, and a lot of people hate the fact that he's directing Star Wars.
You know what I think?
Oh!
Because a lot of people feel like he ruins the Star Trek franchise. Lies. But a lot of people feel like he has, and that he won't do Star Wars.
Well, considering he wanted to do Star Wars in the first place...
Yeah,
he
wanted to
do
Star Wars before he got Star Trek.
He kind of did Star Trek as Star Wars, in a way.
Yeah.
Well, if they don't want him to do anything Star Wars, I'll gladly keep him for Valve to make my Portal movie and my Half-Life movie.
Hell yes.
So,
also, he is one of the nicest human beings ever.
Yeah.
He seems like it.
No, he was.
He was?
Very nice.
Honestly, stop with the lens flare jokes. And or just stop with
also,
lens flare.
Also, I like lens flare.
I like lens flare, but I mean, people are saying that that's why he's not going to be good doing this movie because there's
like
lens flares. Like
lens
flare.
I mean, the worst thing that he can do is like put a lens flare on a fucking lightsaber.
Yeah, if that's
in which
the worst
case,
thing you can say about any of his movies, then yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah,
I think
there were
be...
lens flares in Thor, and he had nothing to do with Thor.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, tasteful lens flare is always wonderful instead of untasteful lens flare, whereas, like, there's lens flare on a mouse. You're confused.
I think he is...
Are we talking, like, computer mouse or, like,
I don't know. I looked down at my mouse, but...
Oh, okay.
I mean, Stuart Little with lens flare would be quite awful.
Or would it be better?
No, it would be awful.
It would be awful because I kind of like Stuart Little.
I do, too. For some reason, it's playing the dad.
I think J.J. Abrams is the chosen one who will unite the fandoms.
Wow.
Yes.
He's going to unite more than just Star Wars, the Star Trek. He's going to unite Valve. He's going to unite
Monsters. Yes, but Valve and Star Wars have never, like, those fans have never clashed.
Yeah, yeah.
And been like, which is better?
True.
But Star Trek and Star Wars have been doing it since
all fandom one fandom.
Yeah. So, he's becoming king of the...
And, they're making Yoda, Boba Fett, and
Han
Solo movies.
Han Solo spinoffs.
But they aren't, like, yeah, they're luckily going to be spinoffs.
No.
I mean, not luckily, I mean, I'm excited
It's
about
not
it.
Going to be, like, episode 7 is going to be a Yoda movie. And
yeah.
episode 8 will be, like, a Han Solo movie.
Well,
but that's not
I mean,
how it is.
I'd be cool.
I
I'm
hope
excited.
It just
But then
up
they
like...
have to recast because they're doing his origin.
Oh.
Yeah, they're doing young Han Solo.
Nathan Fillion, Nathan Fillion.
Lol.
Yeah.
Lol.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion is older than Harrison Ford was he not? He looks like
well,
he's older currently.
He is currently older than Harrison Ford was, but I mean...
And you can tell.
I mean, he can shape up. He can shape up, buddy. Yeah.
Now you're just...
Okay, moving on.
Aww.
Aww.
Okay. Anyway, what else? Fall Out Boy's back together.
Boom.
Yes.
Like dynamite. That was awful.
That was awful. There we go. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
We're the only two who are really all that
who
excited
cares?
About it. But
well, that's not true. That in the room.
In the room,
the
yes.
A lot of people care.
They
and I enjoy some of their songs.
Teehee.
You are not part of the bandom.
Okay.
But, and then there's... Wasn't there a joke on Tumblr who sold their soul to get Fall Out Boy back
Mikey
together?
Wave.
Mikey Wave!
Oh, it's because he cheated on his wife!
Fucking Mikey Wave!
Oh, anyway, fucking fandom.
Oh.
Although I do think it's funny that we will probably get the Fall Out Boy album before we get Ryan Ross's album, before we get New Panic of the Disco, all of which was promised by the end of last year anyway.
Accurate.
Cool.
But, I mean, the new Fall Out Boy album comes out right after my birthday! Happy 22nd to me. Yeah, I'm old as balls. I keep forgetting you're older than me, Jeffrey.
I'm just wondering, like, how old is older than balls sometimes? What is the unit of measure?
Maybe you should write an article on it.
Done.
It's two.
Alright. So
let's get to the main point of the
meat,
podcast.
The meat of the podcast.
Yeah. Yum.
Alright. Nom 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 nom.
Sandwich.
So we wanted to talk about movies.
Yep. Cause that's something that we do, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. So, like, what makes a good movie and a bad movie in everybody's opinion? Don't all speak up at once.
That's hard. That's hard.
For me, like, if there's a good story and good dialogue, I'm happy. Like, it could look like absolute shit, but as long as there's, like, a good story and good dialogue.
Yeah, I agree. Like, dialogue trumps... sometimes.
Because the Neverwhere miniseries, God, it looked awful, but good lord, they had, like, perfect casting, perfect performances,
dialogue,
and everything.
I think
dialogue
can help out a movie that doesn't have the best direction in it. Because even if it has the best direction in the world, if the dialogue's shitty, it's going to be bad.
And even, I think even... to go as low as, like, if the idea is really, really... if the idea is really, really good, even if the dialogue isn't exactly top-notch, or, like, the storytelling isn't exactly perfect, like, it's not Aaron Sorkin, like, solid, tight.
Yeah.
Like, I think an idea can make a really good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, if all of those things fail, then as long as it's pretty.
Yeah.
Like...
It's got to have something going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay... the Twilight movies. Everything about them are shit, except for, like, the
cinematography.
The cinematography is
beautiful.
Like,
eye-candy. Yeah,
you're just like,
it's really pretty. And the direction, especially in, like, I think it's...
the first half of the fourth one, the direction was pretty good. Because, like, everybody else's performances were actually pretty decent.
I know Eclipse had really good cinematography.
We watched it because I have a problem where I need to finish something if I start it, so...
yeah, and Breaking Dawn Part 1 had pretty good cinematography and everything, but everything else is shit in that in that movie series.
Yeah.
So, yep. How about...
I can't really think of what makes it... for me, it's just, like you said earlier, mentioning idea, how you present the idea, if it's just the same sort of thing that you've seen in other movies, but how this movie is going to do it is just a little bit different.
Yeah.
A little bit more interesting, more pizzazz to it.
I think it's a bit, if it's entertaining, in a stimulating way, not in like a mindless way.
Yeah.
Then I mean, you can say it's a good movie no matter what.
Yeah.
All right. So, what makes a bad movie?
Okay, really bad acting.
Yeah.
Can make a bad movie.
Yeah.
I almost said low budget, but you can't
blame
it on low budget.
Because
it's
there's
not
several
true.
Films
yeah.
that have had low budgets that
Clerks,
are awesome.
For example.
Clerks
is like one of the lowest of low budget films.
That is the epitome
of
credit
low,
card movie.
The only thing below it
quite
is,
literally.
The only thing below it would be like a college thesis film.
Yeah.
In terms of
we only spent like $3,000 on ours, which is really funny because we had Murphy Dennis come in and he was talking about low budget and he was like, at like USC, like they're only supposed to spend like, I think their max is like $50,000, and I'm like, ha, we spent like $3,000 on ours. Whatevs, bye. And we raise all that money. The school doesn't give us that money.
No.
Thanks, USC. Whatevs.
What?
I donated to the Kickstarter.
Yeah, like the, at like, not our school. They, like, I think freshmen, like, the freshman film program, you get, like, $25,000, and then it goes up until you're a senior, and then, or like sophomore, and then it goes up until you're a senior to up to like 50,000, I think.
We made the wrong choice.
Yeah.
I look at that every day, saying I made the wrong choice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in California right now.
So what else makes a bad movie?
Like, if it's made just for, like, getting money.
Yeah, if it's just like a quick cash,
like,
grab.
A lot of those action films, like, I love action films, I really do,
oh, yeah.
But, like, Transporter 2 or whatever.
Just the Transporter, after one, the Transporter series.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of like the third entry a little bit more than the second.
Aren't there,
I only
like,
saw the
bit.
Second one.
Yeah. Aren't there, like, 7 Transporter films now?
No.
Oh,
only
wait,
30.
Jason Statham
yeah.
movies all look alike, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, safe and... Something just flew out of my mouth when I said safe.
No,
someone,
safe. Someone was like, no, safe is different than anything else he's ever done. Let's look at the story. Oh, he's transferring this child from here to there.
Cool.
That's Transporter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
And like the Transformers movies.
Okay. They were such a... Like, I was really excited whenever they were like, yeah, we're making Transformers
movies.
Yeah,
the first one I really enjoyed. I will say that.
The second one... I only enjoyed it because whenever I went to go see it in the theater, I went with one of my best friends from high school, and he laughed at, like, all this sort of sexual jokes, and I'm like, you get these jokes? I don't understand. You're laughing at these? I didn't know you thought like that. That's in your brain? But, yeah...
In your brain.
Yeah.
If you understood my friends from high school.
It's okay. In
yeah.
your brain.
Like, things that are just loud, noisy, and clunky, like in those kind of action films where they don't let anything linger. Like
yeah.
when the action doesn't linger. I'm fine with action movies. I love action
Should
movies.
You take my targets?
I'm just playing with it.
Okay.
I love action movies, but if it's just, like, nonstop action, they don't do any building, if they don't build to the action,
yeah,
and they're just like, oh yeah, first scene, we're gonna make everything explode, then everything after that is going to be boring story-wise, unless you just keep it going.
And even
yeah.
then, it's gonna be boring.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely, it's about storytelling. It's about, like, what makes a good movie versus
mm-hmm.
a bad movie. It's about, like, okay, because we talk about this all the time, and how, like, every scene has to serve a purpose. It either moves the plot along or it moves character.
Right.
And if it doesn't do either of those, then it sucks and it's boring.
And then there's no purpose for
it. And it has no purpose.
Right.
And it's just filling time.
Right.
And that's what a lot of actions, like, all even action scenes need to either move character by, like, having a character do something you don't think they would do,
mm-hmm.
or, like, reinforcing something that you think a character would do or wouldn't do, or it needs to move the plot along. And very often, action films don't do that.
Action films are more like, story, 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 let's pause the story so you can see things explode, story, story, pause, explode,
yeah.
just so
yeah.
on and so forth. That's why I couldn't get behind The Expendables, because I watched
oh.
the opening...
Blair Boyle loves those movies.
I watched the opening to that movie, and the opening was just like, yeah, action everywhere, and then it stopped, it came to a screeching halt.
Which is so
and
jarring.
And nothing happens... For like 20 minutes, and I'm like, I'm falling asleep now. You had me so excited for this movie. You gave away your biggest action scene in the first 10 minutes. You don't do that.
Whoa.
Because then it's, I know you gotta grab your audience with something.
But you
but
start lower than
start
your high
lower
point.
Than your high point, because that was an awesome opening scene. I know Jeffrey's
yeah.
probably seen the movie.
Oh god, I've
and
seen that many times.
I turned it off after
Talk
like the first 30 minutes
pleasure.
Because it just got so boring after the opening action scene.
When it comes to those movies, I actually let that slide. Like, when it comes to movies like The Expendables,
but should we?
Well, see, it's not like, should we let it slide? It's more like, I personally let it slide because when I go see The Expendables, I know what I'm getting. I'm not getting an Oscar. That's for damn sure. I'm just going over there to look at, oh, wow. Look at, oh gosh, I just forgot his name. Not Steven Seagal. Sylvester Stallone. There we go. Why'd I mix them? But yeah, I see Sylvester Stallone and Jet Li and everyone just there, and I'm like, that is really cool that they all got to go into that one film. And I just think about, like, what if they, like, throw in Steven Seagal now? Now that's why I want, because I want him in one of those movies. I want to know what he's doing now. He's not doing anything.
Well, they're going to bring Nick Cage into a sequel.
Yep. Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood, I think.
Yeah.
If Clint Eastwood's in it, I might go see it.
I'll go see it for Nick Cage.
I mean, I saw the second one. It was exactly...
Don't give me that
exactly
look.
Exactly like everything. I mean, I don't know. Those movies, I kind of just don't expect much, so I'm kind of okay with it.
And it just seems like I just can't get behind that much generic.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know it's supposed to be an homage to old 80s films, and I like that, but old 80s films are, you know, good. So
yeah.
That's the problem. If what you're...
Not all.
If a lot of them are.
Yeah,
like, Die Hard.
Yeah.
First Die Hard.
Yeah.
But yeah. So... Moving away from action movies, other than, like, loud, explodey things, what makes something bad? And acting.
I just wanted to add a noise.
Bad.
Poor dialogue choices.
Yes.
Yeah.
People
sounding
like robots instead of
human
beings.
Like, if the story just doesn't work at all, like, if there's so many plot holes that you can drive a truck through it.
If it doesn't have refrigerator logic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If something doesn't work, do you know what refrigerator logic is? Okay, it's a Hitchcock? I think it's a Hitchcock thing. Basically, if something has a plot hole, but the audience doesn't think about the fact that that's a giant plot hole, why was that like that, why did that do that, until they're finished watching the movie, and they go to get, I think it's like they go to get a midnight snack, and they think about it at the refrigerator.
And they're like, oh,
that didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
why did they do this?
As long as you're not thinking about, like, the plot hole
in the movie,
yeah.
then you're fine.
Yeah.
Because all films will have plot holes, you'll always have, like, problems and blah, blah, blah. But as long as the audience isn't thinking about it, then you've done a good job at telling the story, because the audience is more involved in the story than thinking about what the fuck you messed up.
And I also think a plot hole like that can be fixed if you set up a world where it would make sense if that plot hole happened.
Yeah.
Like if the world is this fantasy world, you're not going to question certain things.
Yeah, that's true.
Like you don't question magic in The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Because that's the world you're in. And they set that up for you in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie.
But somebody questions why they don't just use the damn
eagles. Oh my god,
I
will kill everyone who fucking asked about the fucking eagles. Because, no, there are two main reasons. One, eagles are proud. They are proud as fuck. They will only come once. And two, fucking, the fellowship was supposed to travel in secret. They would see them on the eagles. That's why they didn't take the fucking eagles.
Can we build a stealth eagle?
You are fired! Get the fuck out!
There was a dude in this article, he was talking about
America.
It was ridiculous. But he was talking about how, like, he was like, oh, fucking everybody's talking in this movie. Nothing's happening in this movie. And, like, fucking eagles, like, blah. It's so boring. And then, like, I was talking to Megan, and Megan was just like, man, I'm glad that fucker didn't read the book, because the eagles talk to each other in the book before they go save them. Man, he would have really hated that. Not even talking about Cody, so this is really funny.
He's just staring at me. When I make those jokes, I make them because they're funny.
No.
I actually enjoy those movies.
No, you said it was fine after they left Rivendell. It was fine after that, whenever things started happening.
Well, yeah, not, I don't feel that much.
You didn't enjoy the fucking war chase?
I like that.
You didn't like the hobbits you didn't like the dwarves in the Hobbit Hole?
I mean,
that
was interesting, but I just mean...
It said something entire character!
I just mean the pacing.
Oh my god, okay.
The pacing felt really off for me in the very beginning, because
it
felt like everyone was saying things incredibly slow so they could drag out the time so they could make three movies. That's what I felt, because The Hobbit is...
False. No. Yeah, you look guilty over there. No. Stop. We're done.
That's...
We're done talking about The Hobbit. We're done. I'm just gonna get angry. We're done talking about The Hobbit.
I'll not have an opinion.
You're actually shaking.
Your opinions are wrong.
No.
Yes, they are. 70
My
years of J.K.
Yeah, I heard that. I was
70
like, oh,
years of J.R.R. Tolkien says you are wrong. Get out.
The entire Tolkien fandom says you are wrong.
Ringers will not stand for this.
Alright. So, other than
skills and stuff. Do we want to move on?
Yeah, let's just move on.
Let's just move on.
Yeah.
All right, you're done. So, everybody's top five favorite movies, go!
Do you want to go first?
Oh, fuck it. Okay.
No, let's do you first.
Okay.
Since you don't like... Okay, let's just go.
Okay,
Could have been bitchy, but I didn't. Let's go.
Oh, God.
You could have been, and
sure,
I would have high-fived you.
Sorry, I don't like your...
No, just go.
Okay.
Just go.
Okay, number five, Mallrats, just because everything in that movie is amazing. It's like geek heaven in a movie. Like, just all those characters, just every one of them relatable. Just all of them. I love Kevin Smith's characters, his writing, everything. I mean, he's not the greatest director, but he's an amazing, amazing director. Silence of the Lambs is number four, because Anthony Hopkins. Just Anthony Hopkins, and that movie is really creepy. And number three, everyone should know, Argo. An interesting thing about Argo is... Ben Affleck stole half of his cast from Red State, from
That's
Kevin
true.
Smith.
That's yeah, true. He did.
Yeah, and Ooh. So, because Kevin Smith showed him Red State, and then, like, a few weeks later, he heard John Goodman was cast in Argo,
mm-hmm.
and then Michael Parks was cast in Argo, and all these other people were cast in Argo. He's like, hey, could you give me some props? And then, like, when Ben Affleck was quoted about Red State, he was like, I loved it more than Quentin Tarantino did.
I remember that story. Because
Quentin Tarantino said he loved it. Number two is The Departed, because I love Martin Scorsese, and that cast was brilliant. Leonardo DiCaprio was once again robbed of an Oscar that year.
He's been robbed of all the Oscars.
Yes.
Forever
all
and all.
Forever. And,
why are you shaking?
I don't know. Well, you're just sort of staring intently at me, so it's not like
no, I'm
weird
not staring at you. I'm like
it's just awkwardly quiet while I'm saying my list.
Well, yeah, we want you to be able to say
okay,
your list.
But yeah, I think that movie is actually what made me really like Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, that and The Aviator, because before that, I didn't really know much about him except Titanic, and I didn't really want to watch Titanic at that point in my life. And then I was like, oh, look.
I watched it like four times a day, every day.
Oh.
And then my number one movie is The Godfather, because I just really like mob movies a lot. And just everything.
Do you guys see why I'm like terrified for my life 98% of the time? Silence of the Lambs and The Godfather.
So, I think they're really good films.
Look out for that horse.
Jeffrey, it's your turn.
Jeffrey,
oh. Okay. Okay. Well, number five is really hard for me to choose. But, so it's like two movies for number five, I know. Yeah. The Dawn of the Dead remake and Saw. Very different when you think about them, but for me, it's like both of those movies are really good to me. Number four, District 9. Because, Jesus Christ. Did I shed a tear in that theater at the end?
I
shed it at least three tears. I shed it. I know, right? It's awful. I shed three tears. Shed it. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? That's the third time I've done that today. Anyways, number three, Children of Men.
So good.
Because, yeah, you know.
I love that movie even with the Christian over and undertones.
Yeah. I loved it. For all of the different one take scenes that they had in there,
yeah,
and watching
the scene with the baby,
yeah,
is my favorite scene in that entire movie, where everyone gets quiet.
Yeah,
oh, so I cried.
It was
amazing.
Yeah. Did you hear like watch the behind the scenes of how they did that? It was intense.
Mm-hmm.
Like how long it took them to set up that one thing.
Yeah, in one shot.
It's amazing. Number two, Fox and the Hound.
Oh.
Man, you just like to cry.
Yeah, because, dude, the movies that are on my top list are movies that hit me hard and affected my life. And Fox and the Hound, man, I watched that movie a couple of days after I was told I was adopted. So, I had all the feels. I was like, oh, I'm like, Todd, and my best friend's Cooper. And then all of a sudden, Cooper's getting angry, wanting to kill Todd. I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to make friends. This is awful. This is not what I wanted. But yeah, Fox the Hound, loved it. And number one, you guys have heard me say this over and over, but Night of the Living Dead, 1968. I mean,
it's a very Jeffrey choice.
Yeah.
It is very Jeffrey choice.
It's a very Jeffrey choice. And stuck with me ever since.
Yay.
That was a hand wave of everything, I guess.
All of the sadness.
All of the sadness.
Your turn.
Why is it my turn?
Because we're going in the circle.
Okay. We can't go in the Z.
No.
Okay.
We're not Sora.
Come on. We could be. I mean, if you turn a Z at a certain angle, it looks like an N. For Nerdicon.
No. Yeah. Why are you so afraid of going?
Yeah, you just push it off on.
Same reason I hate going in pilot.
Oh my god, just say it.
Alright, okay. Number five is Inglourious Basterds. Like, World War II history has always, like, fascinated me. My great-grandfather fought in World War II. And, like, I've just always loved stories set in that time period. And for Quentin Tarantino to, like, just take that and make it into what he did, like, it was just, oh, so good. Yeah. Number four is Chasing Amy.
I love them.
Just all of the all the emotional things. And it's just like, it's so good in every single sense of the term. Like, it's just perfect. Number three is Clerks. My childhood was Clerks. Like, I grew up in a convenience store that had a movie rental place attached to it. That was how I grew up. And I, like, looking back at it now, it's like, oh my god, this really is, like, how my childhood was. Like, my mother was Dante. My father was Randall. I was obviously Silent Bob. My brother was Jay. It was like, yeah, it makes perfect sense. And that's, it really is how convenience store life is. It's, yeah. Number two is Fight Club. It's always been on my favorite film list. It's like sort of what made me want to become a screenwriter slash filmmaker because, like I wanted to take one of Chuck Palahniuk's stories and adapt it to make my own vision come to life. And
but I still want to make Invisible Monsters because that's my favorite Palahniuk book, and I like. That movie is never going to be made and be good.
Yeah.
And, like,
oh, Rant is the one that I wanted to make because I had, like, perfect cast in my mind. But, you know, what else? Number one is Midnight in Paris because the story is one that, like, I just really, truly love because all the characters in it, I'm just like, yes, who doesn't want to hang out with F. Scott Fitzgerald and Zelda Fitzgerald and stop her from jumping in the Seine River? And, like, have these weird conversations with Ernest Hemingway. Because you know that that's how Hemingway had to, like, talk all the time. And, I mean, it was perfect performance, perfect directing, perfect lighting, perfect everything for me. So, that's mine. Your turn.
Okay, so, I was going to do this in alphabetical order, but I'm actually, I figured out my order, my number order. So.
Okay, that's why you kept pushing it off on everybody else.
Kind of, yes. Yeah. my plan, it comes to fruition. Okay, so my number five is probably Zero Day, which is this, I think it came out in like 2001 or 2002, but it's this super independent, low-budget film that is about these two kids who shoot up their high school. And it's from their perspective, it's, all, like, DV, like, videotapes of them, like, leading up to it. So they're, like, planning it, and then they're also just being normal, and, like, and it's really, like, I had it from Netflix for about a month, because I was like, I'm not emotionally ready to watch this right now. I can't handle this right now. And then I finally watched it, and it's really funny, and, like, really, like, heartfelt, and also scary, and, like, it's... and the ending is so so good. And they have this moment where they stop using the tape. They stop using the, camcorder that the guy, that the boys are shooting with. Because they go into the school, and then they cut to security camera footage, and the audio is coming from a 911 call. And that's the end of the movie, is using that. And it's, the editing is, it's so good. It's fantastic. And I also really like school shooting stories, which is kind of morbid, but I do. So that's also part of it.
You're looking at me weird.
Whatever. my number four is Another Earth, because that movie was so fantastic. And I think the ending is definitely, it ended exactly how I wanted it to end. I was like, if it doesn't end like this, I'm gonna be fucking pissed. And then it did, and I just started crying. It was so good. Because it doesn't end, necessarily happily, or, it doesn't even end, with, you don't feel sated when it ends. It just, you're like, and then life will continue, and it will be weird, and, which is interesting, and I like that they decided to just fucking go for it and make it like that, make it how they needed to make it, instead of just, and then everybody's happy now, because that would have been bullshit for that story. Number four is Fur. Nope, that's what I meant. I'm in three. I'm not going backwards or anything. Number three is Fur, an imaginary portrait. Deanne Arbus.
I fucking love that movie so much.
For about 6 months, I definitely thought it was my favorite film, and then I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go back to my original number one. But, Robert Downey Jr. in that movie is so phenomenal.
He really is.
And Nicole Kidman. And so is Nicole Kidman. She's so good. That movie is fantastic. And it's like this fictional account of
how she became who she was.
How she became, Deanne Arbus. And it's kind of there are a lot of legends and myths based around her because of what she did, and her specific line of photography. It was one that the screenwriter and I don't remember if it's the guy who directed it too, but his name is not coming up on my brain right now. But he he made that part up, but, it fits in so perfectly that, it seems like it's true.
Yeah, it seems it's a natural progression thing.
When she shaves,
God,
anyway,
yeah.
When she shaves him, it's so...
Yeah.
Because he has, that... Robert Downey Jr. has that disease where he grows fur. He kind of looks like Chewie.
He does.
He grows fur all over his body, and... They become really good friends. They become best friends. And,
yeah, because he lives, above her.
Yeah, he lives above her. And, it was just phenomenal.
And he's just, this eclectic, normal dude. He just happens to be fuzzy.
Yeah.
So.
And, he introduces her to the world that she ends up photographing.
Yeah.
And, he affects her life in this very meaningful and important way that, changes who she is fundamentally. For the better, definitely.
Yeah.
And my number two choice is The Social Network, because,
I'm surprised that's your number two.
Why? because I wrote all of those papers about it?
You got
I'm actually,
every day.
I'm going to the National Conference for Undergrad Research for a paper I wrote about it. I fucking love The Social Network. I think it's perfectly constructed, script-wise, everything about it is perfect. Acting wise, I only have problems with two things in the entire film. It's one shot of Erica and the way that Rashida Jones leaves the office at the very end of the movie. Those are my only two problems. That's it. Otherwise, it's fucking perfect. Everything about it is perfect. So there's that. And my number one, which has been my number one since I saw it when I was in seventh grade, was Chasing Amy. Because that movie was really important to who I became in my sexual identity.
Yeah.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's also perfect. What?
Yep. It really is perfect. I didn't really number mine, in order of importance or anything. It's just, that's the order that they came to my mind in.
Oh.
But Midnight in Paris is still up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. So, guilty pleasure films. Let's start with you first, Emily.
I love me some High School Musical. Ain't even mad about it. I own them all on DVD. I definitely did the dance in high high school when I was a freshman. That was a thing I did alone in my room. You can tell why I was alone.
I find that very surprising. That way, that's like a hit out of left field, out of nowhere. Just like, really? High School Musical. Whoa.
Love me some High School Musical. Fuck Camp Rock, though. That shit was awful. Anyway.
Such a good idea. But...
Was it?
I like the mall.
You like the mall one?
Yeah, the American Mall Musical.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was one that was like like Sunday School Musical. That was hilarious.
That shit is a dick.
Is it? Is it good?
No.
Okay, because I was like, it looked like one of those.
It's awful. It's like Uber. It's like weird and like, it wants to be High School Musical. Like, that's why they even did like the promotion photos like that. But like, it's super Christian and weird.
Yeah.
Oh. Wow.
Okay.
All right. Who's up next?
You. Let's go reverse.
All right. Swag.
Reverse. Don't be playing cat. Never mind. Continue.
Do the cha-cha slide?
There we go.
No. Let's never do cha-cha slide.
middle school anymore.
Oh.
All right. So, Schumacher Batman films are forever and always going to be my guilty pleasure. Like, if they're on TV, I will sit and watch them. And I will just... I will hate myself for watching them, and I will hate myself for enjoying them. But I do. And the other one is Waterboy. Really long, weird story. Okay, so whenever it first came out, me and my dad went to go see it. And then, like, it gets to the part where Kathy Bates is, like, explaining to Bobby Boucher, or Adam Sandler, like, no, your dad left us. He didn't die. He just fucking left. And whenever she's reading the part about a voodoo woman named Phyllis, I just turned and stared at my dad, because he was with a voodoo woman named Phyllis at the time, and I just turned and stared at him, and he was just like, shut up, you're such an awful child. Why? I'm like,
Oh, gosh. Jeez.
Yeah. But, I mean, I love it, because... Adam Sandler really did his research on what it's like being in the South, because that's kind of accurate, or at least, like, where I grew up, it's pretty accurate.
I mean, okay. I mean, I don't remember much of Waterboy.
I don't either.
So, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, I know. I watched that a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. I have it on.
See, whenever you live in the middle of bumfuck nowhere,
pretty much.
You're like, this is accurate.
Yeah, you understand.
However, I did not have to drive a lawnmower to get everywhere.
Nope. I knew people who did, though.
I did, too. While I worked at the convenience store.
You see those people driving up and down the road.
Yeah.
Every day.
Jeffrey, go.
Well. Guilty pleasure. Multiple guilty pleasures. Actually, it's kind of funny. I'll go ahead and say one thing. Trauma films.
Yes.
Any trauma film.
Yes.
Trauma. It's gonna be a guilty pleasure.
It's gonna Toxic Avenger, Poltergeist, they're all just wonderful classics that I just consider close to my heart for I'll watch it if I just feel like watching something random.
Oh god.
That's not true.
I know, but I still felt like saying it whenever you said Poltergeist.
Oh gosh. And what we were talking about earlier about bad movies, and we went on action films. My guilty pleasure are just really any kind of action film, bad or good or whatever. I just
Jeffrey just
because I could just shut my mind off and
for
just
2 hours
laugh
and just
at awful.
Yeah.
No, I just love to. I don't know. That's for me. My definition of a good movie is, did I have fun watching it? And it could be, like, a different kind of fun. Like, fun as in, fun as in, yay, fun. Or fun as in, that was fun kind of thing. I know that doesn't make sense, but, if I didn't enjoy it, basically. But, those, and along with all of the Resident Evil movies, and I won't say that again, including Uwe Boll movies sometimes. Okay. Sometimes. It takes me a little bit, but sometimes. Postal? Man. I laugh all the time. But bad. Anyway, there we go. That's okay, my guilty pleasure.
I'm really kind of trying to think of what mine is, but all I can really think of is the 2008 Punisher Warzone movie. Because that movie is not a good movie at all, but I love it. I love it. I love how silly everything is. I love how silly the villain is. I love it. So, and I love how the Punisher has the bionic punch that can punch someone's face inward, even though he's a human. And just, the part where the parkour runner in the gang is just doing the flip, and then the bazooka just comes and hits him. It's just
for no reason. Oh my god, that movie.
I should hate it so much. I should, because it's...
I feel like there's like some stupid ass movie that you made me watch one time.
Was it Ghost Rider?
No, I fucking hate Ghost Rider. That can't even be.
That's one of my guilty pleasures.
Okay, another guilty pleasure for me is Spider-Man 3.
Oh,
it's a terrible, terrible film. But I can just sit down and watch it and be like, okay, I'm watching Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man. Spider-Man, and it's got Venom. I know you're not really Venom because you suck as Venom, but it's got Venom.
But Topher Grace, I love him. And
he's did like, good. He wasn't Venom. Until he was Venom.
He would have been a better choice for Peter Parker, honestly.
He would have been a good Peter Parker, I think.
He would have been really
He would have been better, I think, than Topher Grace, honestly.
Topher Grace was who I said.
Blah, blah. Who am I thinking of? Toby Maguire.
See, I get them confused.
Okay. It's the tease.
I'll admit that Daredevil is one of my guilty pleasures, because I... Who? Okay,
The director's cut.
As a fellow blind person... No, I'm technically legally blind, okay? Like, if I don't have my
She's
glasses...
She's like the girl from America's Next Top Model.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you mean the host? That I forgot her name all of a sudden.
Tyra Banks.
Thank you. I was like, Banks.
There was this blonde girl in one of the cycles who was like completely blind, and she was just like, "Yeah, whatevs. I'm gonna do this. I got this."
Is that the one they did the SNL sketch making fun of, or the mad? TV sketch or something like
that. Probably.
The one-legged person. I don't know. Something like that.
But I could identify. Because I'm like, pretty much I have to rely on my hearing if I lose my glasses.
Yeah, the Daredevil director's cut is better because there's a whole 30-minute subplot put in with him actually trying to, be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And it connects back into the whole story and makes everything make sense.
I developed a massive crush on Ben Affleck during that movie, and then it, went away, and then I saw Argo, and I was like, you look good with a beard.
Well, Ben Affleck is awesome anyway.
Well, so I mean, he's awesome, but I mean, like...
is awesome, kind of.
I got a...
I forgot all about that movie.
I had a lady boner for him, so, Not just his acting skills, which were only good in Chasing Amy, let's be real.
He was a bomb in Phantoms, yo.
No. No. Get out.
No.
No.
Oh, I like.
No, he was good in Dogma, too.
Yeah, Dogma. Yeah. I keep forgetting about that. Even though he's
good in any Kevin Smith movie.
Even though it's like Alan Rickman, and I'm like, how can I forget Dogma whenever Alan Rickman... with Kevin Smith's writing.
But I also always hate him in every Kevin Smith movie.
Although, I have to say, I love his Boston accent whenever he uses it. Because it's, in the town and...
Whenever it comes out, you're just
And definitely in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
Because I love Good Will Hunting, and I think his accent is still hilarious.
You've never seen Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving forward, we're done.
Wait, there's something that you've never seen. What was it?
Quentin Tarantino movies?
So, I rest my case.
Yet? You've never seen Good Will Hunting.
You've never seen any Tarantino
films. I have seen Natural Born Killers.
He's not even proud of it.
I know, he hates that movie. I hate that movie. That movie's awful. I only watched it for Robert Downey Jr. And it was weird.
Yeah.
He wasn't really into that much. I was sad.
I watch a lot of really bad movies because I love certain actors.
And then whenever they
Robert Downey Jr., all of your movies before you had your fucking drug addiction and during your drug addiction.
I don't know, like...
Before he had his comeback.
Yeah.
I thought a Scanner Darkly was pretty good.
I never actually...
Sure
like
I came
forgot
out
to
after.
Watch that movie.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty
I always
sure
rented
came out
it.
After, though.
Yeah.
It might have.
No, it was like... It came out whenever he was, like, nearing the end of his rehab.
Oh, okay.
Stint.
It was a little bit before...
That was, like, the first good one, and then now it's been perfect and fine.
I don't know. Like, some of his first movies were good. Like, Weird Science. I fucking love Weird Science.
Well, yeah, some of them. But then you also have, like, other things, like Two Girls and a Guy. That movie's awful.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
He did a lot of really bad rom-coms. He also had a gap in his teeth until...
like the 90s, like 30 or so. Yeah, whenever he was in Ally McBeal, he didn't have one.
Yeah, God, that shit closed up real quick. Anyway,
he was really good in what's that one? The book, the one based on the book, Bret Easton Ellis.
Oh, he was the only good part in Less Than Zero.
Yeah, that's
him and Kevin Spacey.
Yeah,
that was Kevin Spacey, right?
Yeah.
Also,
that movie sucks ass, but they were the only good part, like the only good parts of that.
And I guess one more would be, or three more technically, would be the entire prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
That would be just because I love Star Wars. I still hate.
I don't, so it's fine.
Hate two, and one's okay, and three's the best for me.
I never actually saw two like all the way through.
Two is. Good. Because two.
I just saw Jeffrey's face. He's making that noise.
Just
like,
oh.
What's happening? What's going on?
Yeah.
Funny
I love it how I can say the prequel trilogy and not have to say Star Wars. Everyone knows what it is.
I like
funny,
Jar Jar.
Funny thing
yeah,
about the Star Wars movies, I didn't watch them until the third movie. And I didn't even know it was the third movie. I was like, oh man, I can't wait for the sequel. I saw the third movie
That's
in theaters.
In the corner,
you know, you didn't see,
faces.
You know, episode 3 in the title.
Funny
or
enough, no, because somebody was like, dude, come watch Star Wars. And I was like, okay. So I went to go watch it with them, but they were late. I was late. I didn't know where I was. Because it was like my first few times of going into Asheville. And went to the theater, and we missed the previews, missed all the everything. We got in late, and just, I was so confused.
Which theater did you guys go to?
Carmike.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Carmike the one at the top of the hill?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I actually really love that theater, but, like, it's really fucking hard to get there, and it's super confusing.
I love it because my friend works there, and he can get me in for free. But, Bowcatcher. Oh,
Bowcatcher. I hate both of them because every time I go to either one of those places, it's nothing but, oh, was there like a 5-year-old there? Let's have him run up and down the aisles the entire fucking movie. Every single time I go there, I'm like, I just want to take my own little stick. And just
The first half of the 7th Harry Potter movie, whenever we went to the Quinn to go see it, there was a little 5-year-old running up and down the aisles screaming. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, you are ruining my life right now. This is my life. This is my life going on the screen.
And you are ruining it
for me. I will kill you, child.
You haven't even seen the other movies. You're 5.
God.
You remember that, don't you?
Ooh.
God, it was...
That was angry.
That was a joke. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You don't even care about Harry Potter.
I know,
you don't even go here. Sorry.
No, that's me.
Yeah, that's you. You don't go here.
Oh, God. That
you
just,
kind of go here.
I sometimes
movie
go
always
here.
Gets me. Sorry.
Yeah.
You won't go. Oh, I just made myself sad. No. Did I start about you graduating?
I know. Mm. It's like 90 something days left, 80 something days left.
Am I the youngest? I'm the youngest.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Are you all graduating?
No.
No.
He'll still be here. You guys can hang out.
I'm here until December.
I'll just live in Killian. It's fine.
Or the editing lab.
Probably Killian.
Yeah, probably Killian.
Anyway.
Anyway, are we done? Are we good?
Wow.
do we agree, disagree with anyone's movies?
I disagree with, like, all but Argo on your list.
You don't like Mallrats?
I mean, I love Mallrats. I forgot Mallrats was on your list, honestly. Yeah. I have a short-term memory, but,
Do you like The Godfather?
I liked The Godfather as, like...
I wouldn't put it in my top.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't consider it a favorite, no, but... I mean, like, it's good, considering I missed, like, a good 20 to 30 minutes of it.
So you've never actually seen
it? No, I saw it. I just missed the end of the first videotape.
So you've never actually seen it?
No, I saw it.
In its entirety?
Minus that 20-minute chunk. Well, I mean, I saw bits and pieces of it, I just wasn't really...
Maybe that 20-minute chunk would make you think it's better than you
well,
do.
Well, no, it's the part where, like, the car... It's the part where the car explodes. So, I mean, like, I saw that part later, so I have seen it in its entirety.
Just not
in one sitting.
Just not chronologically. Yeah. And I just really like Martin Scorsese films.
I like Martin Scorsese films, too, because... Good Lord, Hugo. But, yeah.
I was really surprised how well he did with Hugo, considering it wasn't a mob movie.
Considering it was a children's film?
Yeah, considering, I was like, when I heard Martin Scorsese was doing a children's film, like, are they out of their minds? Have you seen a Martin Scorsese film?
I thought they were brilliant. I was like, yep, this will be good. And it was.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
It was good.
Yes.
I disagree with Fight Club.
No, you don't.
If anyone disagrees with Fight Club, we can throw down a Fight Club right now.
Oh, I can't disagree with any of your choices. So.
It's because mine are flawless. And Emily's were flawless.
And got so far. But in the end. It totally mattered! Totally mattered! Anyway.
Now we're just making fun of Flame.
The carriage will not peel. Yeah.
What is life?
Well, I'm glad nobody disagreed with my choices.
What were they?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
They were those choices, yeah.
Yeah.
We could probably go back and listen.
Oh.
I don't care enough.
Yeah.
Alright. So, anything else wrapping up? Want to say what we're doing?
Well, working on Joss Whedon month.
Yeah.
Vampire Verse is going to go up
next week.
Halfway done with. Well, I'm not halfway done. I've finished all of Firefly. I'm going to watch the movie tonight.
So, are you doing them as separate articles?
No. I was doing it one. Should I do it separate?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do the comic book universe that he's done, or just the comic book everything.
And then we're going to wrap up with Dr. Horrible tomorrow.
And Avengers.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be... Well, yeah, I'm going to talk about it... I don't think I'm going to talk about it that much in the actual post.
Yeah.
Because we're going to like, puke feels on you guys in another podcast.
It's hard to put into words on a screen.
It's hard to put into words at all.
Yeah.
The feels that come from the Avengers.
You might just hear a bunch of crying and yelling and excitement.
And screeching.
And you'll have to decipher it with something.
Yeah.
Also, if anything happens in Supernatural canon with Dean's sexuality, you will get an article. Believe you me.
That article will go up, like, within probably 12 hours of the episode airing.
Because the fandom is freaking out right now.
Yeah.
We are, like, there's a gift set of, like, people breaking chairs over each other, and, like, that is literally what's happening right now.
Yeah.
Like, people are getting into verbal
fights. It's like
fights.
That Oreo commercial.
Yeah.
With the...
It's, yeah.
Cookie.
It's getting pretty bad, honestly, between, like, because, like, a lot of people are, like, Dean straight and canon. We're like, so,
that's questionable.
If anything happens with Dean Winchester's sexuality, we will definitely get an article up.
I was watching Yellow Fever the other day, and like, I'm not even that far into Supernatural. Like, I just watch episodes here and there,
which is sad. You should just
I know I should just marathon it. But even I'm like, Dean, don't be lying. Don't hide from your your true feelings.
Well, I also think that, like, there's a lot of biphobia happening in fandoms as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of times people are either gay or they're straight. There's no in between.
Yeah.
Which is extremely biphobic. And also, like, come on.
Yeah.
So, and a Hansel and Gretel article should be up this weekend. Well,
sometime. It'll be up soon.
Yeah. That was good.
Warm Bodies review will go up soon as well.
Yeah, we saw that.
It was good.
It was so good. It took us way too long.
Oh my god, it took
long.
Us way too long to figure out the, like, origin of the story that they were doing.
And the sad part is that, like, Emily and I figured it out at the exact same time.
We're like, oh! We're like, oh, get it! But the names and the, oh, yeah!
Yeah!
It was embarrassing.
It was. I'm pretty sure, like, the one dude behind us with the cell phone was... And then the people in front of us who were just, like, way too tall.
God, they're so tall. Movies, bro.
Yeah.
Movies.
That's why I love stadium seating.
Oh, no, stadium seating is the best.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Makes but we sit at the top anyway.
We do. We do. That's what we did when we went to go see The Hobbit.
Yeah.
We're like, stadium seating, to the top.
Oh, well, wow. I wanted to get the most out of the 3D experience, and it was totes worth it, because that was like the best 3D film I've seen ever. Except for
really? You. The Hobbit?
Yeah.
I saw Toy Story 3 in 3D and it was beautiful and perfect and everything was beautiful and lovely in the world.
We saw it on the lawn and cried.
Oh, I think I watched it on the lawn too.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think
it was really
The
good
Hobbit
in 3D.
Would be a film for 3D.
Well, there's a lot of animated because of, like, the monsters and, like, there are a lot of animated sequences that look really
God,
good
the troll.
But it just...
Well, the troll scene. The goblins. The goblins.
Well, the troll scene looks really good. The mountain troll scene looks really good in 3D, too.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Can you imagine, like, the Battle of Khazad Dun in 3D?
Oh, my God.
That would be gorgeous. And painful.
So painful. Battle of Five Armies, all the pains.
Oh.
They start filming that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, all the pain. That's cool.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna die. It's okay, whatever.
No biggie.
I don't need all of my favorite characters, whatever.
So.
Anyway, to end on a super sad note of characters who die in The Hobbit, let's just go.
Alright.
And we will we'll be back maybe next week. Probably next week.
Probably not, actually.
Nope.
Oh, okay, no.
I'm gone from the 15th to the 20th.
Never mind. Oh. I lied. I just lied to you. I'm sorry.
I have to go help my mom buy glasses.
I'm gonna sleep.
I guess I won't be doing
I'm talking to Haywall Nation for some reason.
What?
Wait, what?
Going to a conference to bring artists here to campus. AWOL Nation and Imagine Dragons are on the list.
You mean both bands that like sold out the Orange Peel?
Yep.
Can I have your life?
No. Because this will be the first time I ever get to sleep in a nice hotel. I'd actually like to keep going with this. I've never slept in a nice hotel. I bought my own things for $30 bullshits with rags covered in walls. Walls covered in rags, I meant to say. Jesus, rags covered in walls. Anyways.
Actually, the AWOL Nation concert hasn't sold out yet. You want to go?
Possibly. When?
March 15th?
Cannot.
Alrighty.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
That was very
I'm
going to
be leaving March 15th for. I know dates in my mind for when I am not going to be in Western with Olivia and them.
Uh-huh. Oh, the thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I do. Anyways, well, I guess that
yeah, we're still kind of recording here. So
good.
Personal conversations.
I don't care.
We get no
learn by life.
Well,
you're in Nashville, Tennessee. Look out for me to next weekend.
Okay.
next weekend.
And we will talk to you guys at a later point in time.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Goodbye.
Bye.